Welcome to the January 18th, 2009 morning worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is by the Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, Musings About the Magi. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to College Park. It's thankfully warm in here. It's cold outside, but it feels like summer compared to the last few days. So hope everybody stayed warm. It's good to see you all. Good to have you here this morning. Jeff is not here because he and Ward are leading the leadership retreat for our high school juniors and seniors. They're in Gatlinburg this weekend. They left yesterday afternoon, and they're going to be coming back tomorrow. So he sends his greetings. But that's a very valuable retreat and trip that they take, and it's been a tradition to do that, I guess, for a number of years here at College Park, to take the high school juniors and seniors from the youth group. And so they're in Gatlinburg today. I want to take just a few minutes in the time we have before worship to draw your attention to some scheduling matters and announcements as they relate to to this week and the next couple of weeks. Our opportunities for this week are listed on the back of your order of worship, and you can feel free to look at those. Special note that there will be no youth activities tonight since Jeff and Ward and the juniors and seniors are gone, so no youth tonight. We will have life at 7 o'clock tonight, and there will also be channels and handbells tonight on the regular schedule. There is children's time this morning that Raymond will be leading, so children, feel free to come down at the end of hymn 209 there near the beginning of the service for children's time. As for the rest of the week, the full schedule's on your order of worship, but just to draw your attention to two highlights. First of all, on Tuesday night at 6:30 in Smith Hall, we're going to be having a senior adult fellowship night, or a senior adult game night, as we call it. So anyone is welcome. We do not have any age minimums, and we do not check IDs at the door. So anybody that would like to come, we'd love to have you. We play all kinds of games. We have some good food, and mostly it's just a good time of fellowship. So no matter how cold it is on Tuesday night, it's going to be warm in Smith Hall, and we'd love to have you. It's going to start at 6:30, and you're welcome to stay as long as you want, and you don't have to be there at 6:30. You can come anytime during the night. Regular schedule Wednesday night, and then on Thursday night, the second highlight I wanted to point out, this is the first night of primary basketball, and this is the basketball that will be led by Jeff and Ward in Smith Hall for ages 4 and up, the age groups that are not old enough yet to play in the church leagues. So this is the first night of primary basketball, and if your child is going to come to primary basketball, if you would, just call the church office or let Jeff or Ward know this week that your child will be coming on Thursday night. Otherwise, a quick look ahead. On Sunday, February 1st, we're going to be having our Super Bowl celebration with several different activities, and there'll be more details about that next week during the announcement time when Jeff is back. But put that on your calendar and know there will be life service early that day, and there are going to be some special surprises for our Super Bowl celebration after life that night. So they'll have some good info for you next week. Last week, my wife came and made an announcement on behalf of WMU about the offering for this month, and basically the WMU has decided that they are going to, instead of collecting the Heck Jones offering for the WMU this month, we're going to extend the time for Global Missions. So if you would still like to give to Global Missions, either the Lottie Moon offering or CBF Global Missions, you can do that through the end of the month of January, and that's what the WMU is encouraging us to do. There are envelopes there in the pews, and also you can make that gift either through the mail or in person at the church office. So we're not to our goal yet, but we're working on it. So I certainly encourage you to continue thinking about that as a great missions opportunity. I'd like to say a special word of welcome to our visitors today. It's good to see a lot of new faces here. Thank you for taking time to be with us this morning. Our ushers are coming down, and if you will, just raise your hand high enough for them to see you. We'd like to give you some information about College Park, including a letter from our pastor and some more information about our church and missions and ministry opportunities that College Park has going on right now. Most importantly, thank you for being here. We don't do everything right here, but we love to worship. We have great fellowship, and we always love to meet new people, and you're always welcome here anytime, Sunday or otherwise. So thank you for taking time to be with us today. If Jeff were here, he'd want me to give you a reminder about the pew pads. I know it's we're in good habits now, so we probably fill out the pew pads just as the first thing we do. But if you haven't filled it out yet, if you would, just take time to make a record of your attendance today and pass the pew pad down the aisle. As we prepare to enter into a time of worship, let us focus our minds and hearts on God. We are here today not because of us, but because of Him. And this is one excellent chance to start off the week, to worship Him, to lift our hearts and minds in worship, to focus on God and give Him what we have to give. Let us enter into worship.
Glorious is thy name, Lord. And we come this morning, Lord, to worship you, Lord, to praise you for your unending goodness and mercy and love. Lord, we come this morning to sing your praises, Lord, to proclaim your greatness to all who would hear. And Lord, to reach out to you this morning with our hearts, that we might know you more, that we might be on an intimate relationship with you. Lord, that our relationship with you would change us to become more like you. And so, Lord, in these moments that are coming, Lord, as we worship together, Lord, I ask that you would open our hearts to hear what it is you would have us to hear. And, Lord, I ask that as we leave this morning, Lord, that we would not walk away and forget what we've seen here, but, Lord, that we would walk away changed in your image. Lord, thank you for your love. Lord, thank you for your patience. Lord, thank you for honoring us with your presence this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
ask the children if they would make their way on down. And as you come down, be sure and get a gift from one of my lovely assistants here at the front. And then have a seat with me. You've got one. It's red. See, it's red in there. Yeah. Have a seat. Oh, those are stunning. Yes, they're absolutely magnificent. She painted them? How about your toes? Did she paint your toes too? No. Okay. Well, do they match your gift? They kind of match your gift. I want you. Did you get a gift, Tiffany? Here we go. Pass them on down. You see any others coming? All right. Very good. Thank you, ladies. I want you to open your gift. And girls, don't go anywhere because you're going to collect wrapping stuff for me too, okay? I want you to go ahead and open your gift. If you need help, you can ask someone here. Can you get those things undone? I don't know who wrapped these things, but yeah. It was me. I'm just teasing. Yeah, that's easy. Okay, here we go. There you go. We'll just pull those things off. Unwrap your gift. You're struggling. That thing's tight, isn't it? There you go. Well, what have you got? What is it? It's a cool light. Yeah. Sweet. Yeah. Do you like it? Well, let me ask you a question. You'll have to have parents help you put those batteries in, okay? All right? But let me ask you a question. Why do we give presents? Have you thought about that? I mean, you just came from Christmas, and you probably got one or two presents, didn't you? One or two, right? And so why do people give people presents? Tiffany? To show them that they love them? Okay, that's good. Why else do we give presents? Have you never really thought about it? Okay. Maybe that's a good conversation to have with parents. Why do we give presents? I think Tiffany may be right on. It's to show people we care about them, right? And to show people we love them. This morning, I'm going to read a scripture passage when we get to the, a little bit later in the service. It talks about the Magi, the wise men coming, and they brought, what did they bring to Jesus? Presents, yeah. They brought him a present. And I wonder why they brought Jesus a present. There's several reasons why some people give presents. Some people give presents so they can get a present in return. Yeah? I don't think that's why the Magi gave presents.
I took a letter to my papa.
You did? Okay. Well, good. And it's because you love him? Okay. Okay. Well, think about that. When we're talking about the Magi this morning, think about why people give presents. I want to ask you one other question. Why do you think, or what do you think, what present can you give God? What present can you give God? Have you ever thought about that? That's a tougher question, isn't it? What kind of present can you give God? Your love? Okay. Your love? Any other thoughts? I want you to think about that. Think about that and talk with your parents about this week. What kind of present can I give God? But the reason I gave you a light is because Jesus said that when he came into the world, he is the light of the world. And we're going to talk about the Star of Bethlehem this morning too. And that's kind of a light thing, you know. So I thought, well, I'll give him a light. So when you see that light this week, you remember that Jesus is the light of the world. And that. Okay, well, you can use that one now, can't you? Yeah, that'll be fun. That'll be fun. So think about Jesus as the light of the world and think about gifts that you can give God, okay? Will you talk with Mom and Dad about that? All right, well, let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and we thank you for the gift of Jesus that you gave us because you love us so much. We thank you for these precious children. And we pray that as they continue to grow and learn more about you, that they will come to love you with all of their heart and their soul and with all their mind. And Father, we pray now that you would protect them in a world that sometimes doesn't want them to see Jesus as the light of the world. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can go back to your seat, but if you have trash there, the ladies are going to take that from you, okay? Let me clean up my mess here, yeah. Just put it back in a basket, back there.
Our scripture text includes two passages from the Old Testament. First, from Psalm 72, beginning in verse 1. If you don't have your Bible with you, there should be a pew Bible located close to you, also in the New International Version. Feel free to read along. Reading first from Psalm 72, verses 1 through 11. Endow the king with your justice, O God, the royal son with your righteousness. He will judge your people in righteousness, your afflicted ones with justice. The mountains will bring prosperity to the people, the hills the fruit of righteousness. He will defend the afflicted among the people and save the children of the needy. He will crush the oppressor. He will endure as long as the sun, as long as the moon, through all generations. He will be like rain falling on a mown field, like showers watering the earth. In his days the righteous will flourish, prosperity will abound till the moon is no more. He will rule from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. The desert tribes will bow before him and his enemies will lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of distant shores will bring tribute to him. The kings of Sheba and Seba will present him gifts. All kings will bow down to him and all nations will serve him. And also from the Old Testament in the Book of Isaiah, in chapter 60 of Isaiah, the first six verses. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the arm. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land. Young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. May God bless the reading and the understanding of his holy word. Would you join me in prayer? Dear Lord, in this hour of worship, as we lift our hearts and minds to you, Lord, and specifically right now, Lord, as I lift a prayer on behalf of all the people, all your people, all of us that you love, Lord, I think it's appropriate to acknowledge that it all starts and ends with you. You have created us. You have loved us. You are responsible for every blessing that we've ever experienced. You love us enough and you have the power to do everything. Nothing is beyond you, Lord, and we acknowledge that. We praise you, we worship you, and we thank you. Lord, as we think about the needs and requests and petitions that we have, we pray for your presence and your strength to help us in ways that only you can, to know us in ways that only you can. Lord, the things that we may pray for sometimes may not be the things that are in accordance with your will. Lord, we thank you even when it's not what we want, when it's not what we ask, for loving us enough to keep us within your will, to watch out for us, and to show that care and concern for us each and every day. We have people, Lord, among us who are hurting physically, who are hurting emotionally, who are hurting spiritually. And we need you, Lord. We need you today as much as ever. And no matter how much we may run and how much we may act differently, Lord, we want to find you in the same way that you want to find us. Lord, watch over us. Keep us safe and in your care. Help us to feel your presence every second of the day. Help us to feel your love to such an extent that we can't even keep it to ourselves, that we have to share it with those around us, the joy and the peace that we have from knowing that you love us, even on our worst and weakest and most sinful days. Lord, thank you for loving us the way that you do. Be with us today. Be with us this week. Help us to be who you created us to be, so that we may live a life not rich of the world, but rich in you, and to share that wealth of your love with others to make this world a better place. Lord, we thank you, we worship you, we honor you, and we praise you with who we are as we lift ourselves up to you this morning. Amen.
From creation, God. Will you pray with me, please? Father God, of infinite mercy and grace, we stand at the threshold of a new year, and for many of us, it is an opportunity to recommit our lives to you. May each and every one of us be aware of every chance that comes our way to be strong Christian witnesses for you, to whom we owe so much. We pray that you will take us and use us to spread your kingdom here on earth. As each of us has been blessed, help us all be willing to give freely of our money, of our time, and of our talents, because you have so richly blessed us. This prayer is lifted up in your blessed Son's name. Amen.
We're going to talk about the Magi this morning. You see there in the order of service that the title is Musings About the Magi, and I want to read that story for you, but I want to invite you to take your Bible and join with me. I'll be reading from Matthew chapter 2. It's a very familiar passage of Scripture, but I want to read about the first 12 verses or so, and then I'll make some references to other verses along the way. But we'll be reading Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem, and they asked, "Where is the one that's been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we've come to worship him." And when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly in and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. The Magi. A little word about the Magi. They weren't just stargazers. People think of them in terms of, well, they just sat around and were kind of like an ancient astrologer or astronomer in that sense. They just kind of watched the stars. That's not really the deal. Let me share with you a quote from Myron Alsberger in his commentary on Matthew. He wrote it like this. "It is believed that the Magi came from Persia and were a tribe of priests. Herodotus said that the Magi were originally a tribe of Medes or Medians who had tried to overthrow the Persian Empire but failed, and then became among the Persians kind of a priestly tribe, much like the Levites were to Israel. These Magi became the teachers of the Persian kings, and they were skilled in philosophy and in science. They were known as men of holiness and wisdom and were interpreters of dreams." That's the record on these guys. We do know that Magi, in their studies and their discipline, they prepared to see these signs. And so the rising of this star that foretold the long-awaited Messiah was no doubt just delight to them to see that it had come to pass. And so they began to prepare for that. You see, according to ancient writings, we know that the Magi believed that a star could be the Favashi or kind of like an angel or the counterpart of a great man. So when you saw the star, you knew something tremendous was happening, that a great man was being born, or it was a significant event in the life of a great man. There are also close parallels that are found in ancient antiquity and some late Jewish writings that stars actually announced the birth of Isaac and Moses also. We read from Ignatius of Antioch, and Ignatius of Antioch was one of the apostolic fathers. And as you hear the term, the early church fathers, the apostolic fathers were the earliest of the early church fathers. Okay? And the reason they got the name apostolic fathers is it's believed that the apostles actually appointed them to different places of, or sees as they call them, different places of leadership within the church. Well, Ignatius of Antioch was an interesting fellow. He wrote a lot of fascinating material, and he wrote that this account, as we read it in Matthew, this account, as it's recorded by Matthew, meant that all magic was overthrown by the birth of Christ. Interesting. Interesting writing. Ignatius was an interesting guy, though. Early church tradition says, you remember the story where it talks about Jesus has the children come to him? Come, and he blesses them? Well, early church writings say that Ignatius was actually one of those children. That story actually happened, and that Jesus did bless a group of children, and Ignatius was one of those children. So he had personal contact with Jesus. Also, early church writings say that Peter was the apostle that actually appointed Ignatius. So he was a fascinating character. That's all for free, by the way. That's just a bonus for coming today. All that information about Ignatius. But let's get back to the Magi. Put yourself in their place. You watch for these kind of signs, and then you see something happen. You're doing what good Magi do, and all of a sudden you see this star. So you kind of drop everything, and you make your way to Bethlehem. But see, you're coming from Persia. It takes a while. Okay? Ward, when he's going to tell us about his trip to Egypt and how he got to ride a camel. But they don't travel very quickly. Okay? So it took them a while. They come there and they find Jesus, who's probably a toddler. I know it ruins the whole image of the wise men at the manger, but he was probably a toddler by this time. The word that's used for child there does not mean infant or baby. It means a small child. We know from verse 16 that he was probably under the age of 2, based on what Herod got together with the Magi and was trying to figure out the exact timing. So we know he was under the age of 2. But the word that says house there means a dwelling. It's a building. Okay? So we know that he was probably a toddler at this point. And they came and they were overjoyed by coming to see him. They bowed down. They gave him precious gifts. They worshiped him. And then they left. For all their acclaimed wisdom, for all their truly impressive foresight, for their amazing interpretive skills, for their persistence and generosity, they really didn't get it because they left. Now, granted, they left gifts, some of the most precious gifts that were known to man at the time, and many interpret this to say that they gave their best, and in a material sense, probably so, but still, they didn't give the one gift that Jesus desired among all others. And that would have been the gift of their love and their full devotion. You see, the Magi honored the Son of God, but there's no evidence to suggest that they loved the Son of God or fully understood who he was. That they were excited to be in the presence of a king, but their excitement had to do with what this king would do, not who this king would be. And there's a big difference. You see, they gifted Jesus, but they saw no need to commit to an ongoing relationship with him so that he could gift them. Philosophy, science, and wisdom had led them to follow the star, but it wasn't enough to lead them to follow the light of the world. The star had led them to Bethlehem, but it could not make them eat of the bread of life and drink of living water. The Magi didn't really get it. We know this to be true because some 60 years later, in the year 66 AD, Parthian Magi would journey to Naples. And there they would visit Nero. They would bring him gifts, and they would name him God. The Magi didn't really get it. Speaking of guys that really didn't get it, look in verse 4. You've got these priests of the people, the priests and teachers of the people being the Jews primarily. You've got these teachers that knew all of this prophecy. Because they called them in and said, tell us about this king. And they laid it all out there. They quoted scripture for them. They quoted these prophecies. But think about it. Nowhere does it say, and they went with the Magi. They were 5 miles from Bethlehem. They had heard these prophecies all of their life. They had been foretold thousands of years earlier. They were 5 miles from seeing it fulfilled. and they didn't go. What could have been more important than going to see the fulfillment of these prophecies? It would have been so easy, but they just didn't get it. It would have been so easy. 5 miles. But you see, it's easier to acknowledge Jesus than it is to be committed to Jesus. It's easier to be an admirer of Jesus than it is to be a disciple of Jesus. It's easier to acknowledge God than it is to stick around for the implications of God with us. It's easier to raise questions than it is to make affirmations. It's easier for people to talk about their church than it is to talk about their God. It's easier for people to talk about their worship of God than it is to talk about their relationship with God. It's easier to discuss prayer than it is to actually pray. And it's easier to make excuses about why it's impossible to live as Jesus did than it is to put forth the effort to try with the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, interesting thing. In my little mind anyway. You know, the character that I think, who oddly enough, seems to get it the most? Herod. He really kind of got the impact of what this baby, the impact that was going to happen. You know, in many ways, Herod the Great was a pathetic, warped, frustrated old man. I mean, granted, yes, he was one of the greatest builders of antiquity. The man could flat build a city. He could build an empire, speaking in terms of physical things. But he was a psychopathic narcissist. Let me give you an example. Herod was obsessed with the fact that people should mourn at his death. That's kind of a narcissistic kind of thing. We want everybody to be sad when I die. So here's how he arranged the deal. He made arrangements with his soldiers that as he was nearing death, they had hundreds of Jewish leaders, prominent citizens. He had hundreds of these Jewish leaders rounded up and held. And as he approached his death, he signed a royal decree that said upon his passing, all of those Jews would be executed. That's how he was going to ensure that people mourned his death. The guy was a sicko. He was. But yet, he is terrified at the birth of this baby. You see, maybe he had this premonition about the first being last and the meek inheriting the earth. And he knew that he wasn't going to fare well in Jesus' system at all. He understood that there was no way for him to stay on top and in control. He understood, and it scared him to death. And deplorable as he was, his is the only reaction to Jesus that conveys an awareness of the profound effect that Jesus would have on individuals in a world that was about to be literally turned upside down. And yet, if he got a little bit of the picture, he didn't get the whole picture. Because if he had gotten the whole picture, he would understood that Christ's reign was going to bring hope and peace and the possibility for real security and a new way of existence for everyone, himself included. He just didn't get that part. He liked things the way they were. He didn't like change. Because he was on top. And he wanted it to stay that way. And in his eyes, he had a lot to lose if this baby lived. Based on what he knew of these prophecies, he just couldn't let that happen. As a king, you know, he may have thought that he could protect his power and his wealth and his control and his might. But it was precisely the fact that he was trying to hold on that so tightly. And in doing so, he could not embrace the good news of Jesus in any form. And for all of his power, in the end, he was a paranoid old man who knew how fleeting his power really was. And all it took was these magi showing up saying, hey, where's the baby king? And he went off. That's in the rest of chapter 2 that we didn't read, but you know the story. You see, Herod represents power. a certain kind of power, an earthly power, a political kind of power, the power of armies and military and weapons. The Magi, on the other hand, who rejected that kind of power only after failing to acquire it, the kind of irony there, they rejected that kind of power, they represent another kind of power, the power of knowledge and wisdom and teaching. So it may be that we do a terrible injustice to the Magi when we call them We Three Kings, because that's not who they were at all. As the Magi, they represent a power other than that of the kings. But, you know, as we've seen it, it's still a power that can only take them so far. Two different kinds of human endeavor that both come up short. They both have their limitations. And still, for those of us with ears to hear this message. Throughout the story, in the alleluias of the star and the folly of the wise and the weakness of the powerful, the message is this: I bring you glad tidings of great joy. Good news, for unto you is born a Savior, who is the Messiah, Christ the King, Christ the Lord. For ours is a world that's still waiting, many people still waiting. You see, we have this profound longing for someone to establish justice and righteousness among all the nations, one who will deliver us from oppression and fear, who bring viable and lasting peace. You see, we look for one that can give meaning to our lives, to our actions and the choices. We look for one that we can give ourselves completely to, our heart, our soul, our mind, everything about us. We look for one that we can give ourselves, our total selves to. So as I talk with the children, what can we give to Jesus? What can we give to God? In response to what He's given to us, we give ourselves, our complete selves, to Him. You see, we, as human beings, we look to political leaders. You know, we look for military solutions. And we look to those who are learned, and we look to the educated for answers. And we've pursued sciences. We've pursued the arts. We've even pursued religions. But human achievement, in all of its manifestations, Magi, kings, whoever, all of those things have proven to be insufficient. The human perspective is just too small. And we need to look to the manger. We need to look to the house. We need to look to the cross for the answers. So hear the good news. God has broken into this world. God has broken in, and God continues to break into our world. And in a remote and backwards part of the world, a child was born, and the implications ripple all through time and creation, to this time and to this place, to you and to me. So what are you going to do with that information? What are you going to do about that relationship? That's the question. It was asked then, it's asked today. Let's pray together. Dear Father, what do we do with the information that we know to be true? Father, we pray that we would open our hearts, our souls and our minds, all of ourselves, that we would open ourselves to you. And that we would give ourselves completely and unconditionally to you, just as you gave your only Son and your unconditional love to us. Father, we thank you for the message of the manger, the message of the house, the message, yes, even of the Magi and of King Herod. For at times we can see ourselves in all of them. The message of the teachers of the law who knew with their head but never transferred it to their hearts. Because many times we're guilty of that sin as well. Father, we pray that in your scripture, in your word this morning, we would have learned more about ourselves and more about you. And that this week we will work on continuing to strengthen our relationship with you. For it's in your precious Son's name, the perfect gift, that we pray. Amen. This morning, if you're here and you have no relationship with God because you don't know Jesus personally, I'd love to share with you about Jesus, but more importantly, how you can have a relationship with Him. If you're not a Christian, if you're not a believer, I'd be glad to share with you and pray with you. If you are a believer, but maybe you're saying, wow, you know, I really hadn't gotten all that, and I need to recommit myself, recommit my total self to Jesus, this is the morning. It's no accident you're here this morning. This is the morning for that decision. You can certainly make that where you are, or you can come and kneel and pray here, whatever you're most comfortable with. The important thing is to square things with God this morning. If you're here and you'd like to be a member of this church or believer, there are many ways we receive people. I'll be glad to share with you how you can be a member of College Park. But whatever your decision is, take this time as we sing together. Take this time as a time really to be honest with God. To open yourself and be honest. He knows where you are. Just be honest with Him and square things with Him this morning. Let's stand and sing together now. Remain standing for just a minute. This is Trey Sowers. Many of you know him as Trey Mann. His brother came forward a couple weeks ago and said that he had accepted Jesus Christ. Trey told me after the service, I've done that too, but I just couldn't quite get the nerve to go up this morning. And we've been working on that for a couple weeks, and he's here this morning, and he is letting you know that he's prayed and received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, and he wants to let you know about that, and then he wants to take the next step and be baptized. And if you're going to pray for him and encourage him and continue to support him and his growth, would you join me in saying amen? All right, fantastic. I want to invite you to come by after the benediction and response and speak to him. Mom, Dad, if you would come stand with him and come by and speak to him and encourage him. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we thank you for this day, the lessons of this day, the fellowship of this day, the worship of this day. Father, we pray that we have been changed and that others would see Jesus in us. For it's in his precious name we pray. Amen.
concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.